Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed 4 major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one.
Live from beautiful downtown Shenzhen in Studio A, this is Tough Reality. We'll talk about anything that you want to talk about, politics, religion, anything you don't discuss at the family dinner, we talk about here. Along with me today is wonderful Engineer Kelly in Studio B. We're going to be talking about a lot of things tonight. Agree with me or not agree with me, call me. Come on the air. We'll discuss what you want to discuss. You can reach me at mike@toughreality.com. You can Skype me, M-I-K-E-A-Y-2. You can get me on Skype. Call into our show. Listen to our show. Be attentive. All right. Thanks for listening.
All right, everybody. How you doing? This is Mike. Tough Reality. Toughreality.com. And tonight, we're sort of a day behind, but this is Saturday in the United States. This is actually our Friday show. But I'm in beautiful downtown Shenzhen, like I said on the intro, beautiful Studio A. Across from me in Studio B is a wonderful, incomparable, highly blessed, and truly favored Engineer Kelly. She's doing very well. Now, tonight, I'm probably going to offend you. That's O-F-F-E-N-D. Tonight, the subtopic for our show is love God, love people. love God, love people. I'm going to say a lot of things on here that are going to be very controversial. I'm going to say a lot of things on here that you just might be tuning into me every day listening to what I have to say. We have well over 1,000 listeners back now again. We've been out of this show game for about 1 year. And so we're rebuilding our listenership all over the world. So hello, everybody in Asia, Africa, Europe, all over Australia, North America, South America, the Arctic, the Antarctic, everywhere that you might be on this beautiful place we call Earth. Also, is there any aliens out there that are listening? Hello. So tonight, the subtopic is love God, love people. And I want to go in many different directions today because there is so much going on in the world of Christianity. Some things that are great and some things that are not so great. Some things that Christ is going to be very proud of and some things that Christ is going to, quite frankly, be very angry about. I am a Christian. I've been born again since 1984 when I was in the Army. Bravo Company 277 Armor in Fort Lewis, Washington, where I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior on May 15th of that year, 1984. And since then, it's been, 31 years almost, that I've been a Christian, and I've seen everything. Everything. I was a bad person before I accepted Jesus, and some days I'm still a bad person. Just because you get saved doesn't mean you change completely, because you still have your flesh. You still have your flesh. Many people ask me about once saved, always saved. Like, do you believe that a person is saved, and then that's it? Well, this is what I believe. I believe that when you accept Jesus in your life and ask for forgiveness of your sin, that erases everything from that moment through your past. Paul says in the New Testament, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the high calling of Christ. Forget your past. God did. Forget your past. God did. I have people, well-meaning Christians, say, well, you know, I have a curse from the fifth generation back that, you know, and I look, shut up. Listen, if you ask for forgiveness from God, it's done. Everything is erased. The Bible says you are whiter than snow. Number one. Number two, guess what? Paul says you have to work out your salvation. What does that mean? Work out your salvation. Well, you're still a sinner. The Bible says you're a sinner saved by grace. Well, what does that mean, Mike? Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means that tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, you're probably going to sin. You're probably going to sin. And think of it like this. When you sin, you and your relationship with God becomes blurry. Becomes blurry. You need to, and I'm going to tell you my honest to God what I believe. Every time you sin, you need to ask for forgiveness. Every time you sin, let me say it again. Every time you sin, you need to ask for forgiveness. Every time. Not sometimes, not wait a week, think about it. Not go to a psychiatrist and ask him what he thinks. Talk to your mother, talk to your uncle, your aunt, your brother, your sister, your dog. No, let me give you a little simple advice. If you sin, ask for forgiveness. If you don't, you run the risk of not going to heaven. But Mike, I sin all the time. So sometimes I ask for forgiveness 50 times a day, 100 times a day. I ask for forgiveness for maybe a dream I had. That's how respectful I am of God and his salvation plan. God doesn't put you and take you out of his hand. No. You take yourself out of God's hands when you sin. But you can go right back in his hand and repent. If you do a sin, Jesus' blood on the cross wiped away all sin, A-L-L, all sin, wiped it away. And many Christians say, no, no, if I ask for forgiveness, that's all I need, then I'm a new creature in Christ. Yes, you are. Your spirit is now hooked back up to God. It was separated because of Adam's sin, and now your spirit is hooked back up, and you are going to go to heaven. But one day your flesh is going to go away. Sorry to let you know. I don't care how much you exercise that thing or how much makeup you put on or what you do to your body. It's going away one day, baby. Going away. Not going to be there anymore. So do I believe in once saved, always saved? No. I believe that once you are saved, and your sin from your past is erased. God has a forgetful memory when it comes to asking, when you ask him for forgiveness. He forgets it. So that's why, you know, if I wake up tomorrow, it's midnight here in China, 12 p.m. on the East Coast, New York time, United States of America. If I wake up tomorrow and I yell at somebody, or I'm angry, or I am frustrated, or whatever sin it is, it doesn't matter. I need to immediately ask for forgiveness. Let me tell you what the risk is. If you don't ask for forgiveness and you have sin in your life and it continues, it can become iniquity. Iniquity. And what's iniquity, Mike? Well, iniquity is you in a pattern of sin. Not just one sin, but a pattern of sin. I don't want you to be in a pattern of sin. Repent. It's so simple. It's so simple. You know, I like to say this when I was doing counseling with a lot of people. Mike, I have this problem with thinking this, or I have this problem with doing that. I say, okay, number one, admit it. Admit that you did it. Take the blame. Ask for forgiveness. Number one, admit it. And the second, forget it. Forget it. Just like God said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the high calling of Christ. Forget what you did. It's over with. You ask for forgiveness. Now, this does not give you the right or responsibility or calling to go out and sin as much as you can. No, that's, if you have that attitude, I doubt if you're really even saved. Ooh, Mike, you're saying I'm not saved? Look, I'm not saying that. I'm saying your lifestyle proves that maybe you didn't really get it. Look, a born-again believer is then responsible for his life to make sure he imitates Christ. Be imitators of Christ, the Bible says. If you have behavior that doesn't imitate Christ and you're not trying to change it, you need to get saved, okay, first. Because, look, when I sin, I feel bad. I failed. Missed the mark. That's what sin means, missing the mark. So right now, what I want you to do is just say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry for my sins. Just say that. It's not that big of a deal. Mean it in your heart. Try to make an effort to change. Pray to God to help you to change. Read the Bible for verses that will help you learn how to change. When you get saved, that's a free gift. You know, tonight I want to talk a little bit about receiving from God. Receiving from God. Well, the best gift, the awesome pile of greatness, is receiving the free gift of salvation. Now, let me tell you, I know some people are listening to me tonight that are not saved. You might be Muslim, might be Buddhist, you might be whatever you are. I really don't care. You might be gay. You might be lesbian. You might be a transsexual, homosexual, heterosexual, asexual. I don't care what kind of sexual you are. God loves you. So do I. The Bible says, love God, love people. It's the name of the radio show. That's where I get it from. He said all the commandments, all the rules hinge on these two commandments. Love God with all your mind, will, and your emotion. Love your neighbor as yourself. So it's very important that you receive this gift of salvation and you guard that gift. This gift is the most precious gift that you can get. The Bible says, guard your heart, for the issues of life come from it. What's in your heart today? Let me ask you, what's in your heart? Is God's word in your heart? Is evil in your heart? Do you have a demon in you? I know some of you people out there are laughing about that, but truthfully, in the name of Jesus, I cast any demon out that's out there. I pray against the demons, Lucifer. The Bible says, I've been given power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Jesus said, these works you will do, and greater works than these. John 10:10, I have come. The Bible says that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's Lucifer, that's Satan. Lucifer was his name before he lost his position. In Jude, it says they left their first estate. And they left heaven because they disobeyed God. Lucifer, the leader, name becomes Satan or the devil, looked to God and said, I will rise above God. I am better than God. An arrogant, prideful, horrible spirit. He turned from a beautiful angel who would walk around and just have music come out of his being to an evil, malevolent piece of human excrement. That's right, he's very bad. But you know, the Bible's very clear. If you have God in your heart, and if you're born again, you have the authority over the devil. You do. He can't get you anymore unless you allow sin to stay in your life. He can't get you anymore. You're protected. The Bible says in Psalm 91, I'm in the secret place of the Most High, in the shadow of his wings. Psalm 23, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The Bible says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. The Bible says that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're going to talk about that 1 week, what through Christ means. It doesn't mean that you're a strong, self-righteous person and you can do anything you want to do. No, it means you can do anything when you go through Christ. Ask him, communicate with him, have a relationship with him. Ask him, hey, Lord, do you think I should do this? That's doing things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you do things through you, you will not have the strength you need to accomplish some of the goals and the visions and the dreams that God has given you. The Bible says man without vision will perish. Will perish. What does perish mean? It means die. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. If you're not accomplishing your goals, you can feel sick. Now listen, there are many verses in the Bible. One says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now I'm going to call somebody out here. I was listening to a local radio show in Seattle, Dory Monson Show. Now Dory is probably a marginal Christian, great guy. But he had a news article on there that makes Christians look like idiots. He had a news article on there about a man, and I'm not going to call him a pastor, because I don't think this man is truly an anointed man, pastor of God. I think he's a deceiver. I think he's part of the problem with Christianity. People who use Christianity as a business. There are many pastors in America and throughout the world, because many pastors in other world countries, they imitate what American pastors do because they think, hey, that's the way to do church. So some foreign countries, you can go into a church, a Christian church, and they'll look just like Joel Osteen's church. Or they'll look like just like these churches from Mike Murdoch or Benny Hinn or any of these other people that have proven themselves to be complete fools. These are the men, you know, the Bible says that they're going to come before Jesus one day and they'll say, Lord, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We did this in your name. We did that in your name. And the Lord is going to say to them, Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So let's listen to this. Jesus isn't talking to a non-saved person. These people thought they were saved. These people said, hey, we cast out demons. We did this for you. And he says, depart, leave me. Leave, what does that mean? It means you're not getting into heaven, Buster. Leave me. You workers, listen, workers of iniquity. They were saying they did things like healings and signs and wonders. But Jesus calls them workers of iniquity. What's iniquity, you remember? Talked about patterns of sin. These Christians, these pastors, these leaders, I believe, were in patterns of sin, iniquity. I never knew you. The word knew there is actually the same type of word where Adam knew his wife. It's the same type. Never had intimacy with you. Do you know what intimate means? It means to imitate, to be part of, to be like, intimate, to be one with. Jesus and God, the Holy Spirit, wants you to be one with him, wants you to be with him. Not just in this life, ladies and gentlemen, because we're going to talk about eschatology, the study of end times. We might get into some of it today. But on this show, I'm going to lay it out. And you heard names right then, but I'm going to give you another name. This person has the audacity, that's right, audacity, to ask his people who donate to him and people who follow him. He's asking 200,000 of those people to give him $300. Now, if he was asking for $300 to go help fix a church in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, or help with a water well in Sudan, Africa, or help buy Bibles in China, all more power to him. Thank the Lord. He's using the people's money from God to deliver what God has asked him to do. But no! This man, this charlatan, this huckster, this, what I like to call, the Wizard of Oz, the man behind the curtain, is trying to trick people. He wants to buy not a plane ticket. He wants to buy not a first-class ticket. He wants to buy not a Cessna little plane. No, he has a jet already. He wants to buy the new Gulfstream, which is about $65 million. This man's name, I'm going to tell you in a second. But I'm going to recommend, if you know this man, confront him. Christians, you need to confront this person. If you go to his church, you need to confront him and leave if he doesn't change. If you find his videos on YouTube, you need to mark them with a thumbs down. If you're subscribed to this person, unsubscribe. Post on your Facebook. Post on your Twitter. Don't walk away. Run away from this charlatan. Run away from him. But Mike, don't butt Mike me. We can judge the fruit. The Bible said if there's sin in somebody's life in the church, you go to them one-on-one. If they ignore you one-to-one, you go with you and some of your brothers or sisters. If they ignore you, you kick them out of the church. So the Bible's plain. The Bible doesn't, you know, the Bible's not foggy. The Bible's not, I don't know what it means. No, the Bible says if you're a liar, you don't get into heaven. The Bible says if you're a whoremonger, you don't get into heaven. The Bible says that if you go out and you're homosexual, you don't get into heaven. The Bible says if you use the gospel for filthy lucre, you're not going to get in. This is sin. Sin. The man's name is Creflo Dollar. Listen to that. Last name, Dollar. Are you kidding me? Did you change your name, Creflo Dollar, so you attract more money using some Kabbalic, satanic, Luciferian doctrine? I bet you're a Mason, too. Oh my! Don't get. They might cut you off. Cut me off. Go ahead. Who's going to cut me off? It's America. I can say whatever I want. I'm saying what the Bible says. The Bible is truth. he doesn't just stop there. He says, look, if you give me money, God will give you money back. And if you don't give me money, well, you're going to be in trouble because the demons will come after you. You're kidding me, right? You're kidding me. Where in the Bible does it say, except in Malachi 3:10, and it has nothing to do with giving to your church, Jesus didn't say this. Jesus didn't say, I give you power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy if you send me $100. The Bible doesn't say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory if you give me $1,000. God didn't say, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart if you send me $10 a month. Doesn't say that. Show me. It's a bunch of BS, and it makes this Christian man very angry when they take God's word and make it of none effect. Jesus got angry at the money changers in the temple. That's what Creflo Dollar is. He's a money changer. Give me $300 so I can get me a brand new jet. Are you kidding me? Do you know how many people would be blessed by the $65 million? Pick 100 homeless people. Pick 100 homeless people and you go buy them a house. Pick 1,000 people who can't eat and feed them for a year. What do these people think? I mean, what do they want to live the lifestyle of the rich and famous? You're treating your church like it's an Amway business. And I'm sure you're teaching your parishioners and your people who attend your church, saying, hey, you know, you could start your business here and God will bless it. Look at all these rich people that attend my church. Now, I've attended some of those churches like that. Now, I'm going to call out a guy here that I'm very proud of on YouTube. His name is Doc Kidd, D-O-C-K-I-D-D. I suggest you go search him out, go watch some of his videos, and like him and share his stuff all around. Subscribe to him. And I just say he's doing a bang-up job out there when most Christian ministries are doing a bang-up job of trying to get money. And, you know, if they were trying to get money to buy Bibles for people, I would be so happy. But most of them are trying to get money to pay for their electric bill. They want to pay for their car. They want to pay for their lunch. They want to pay for this and pay for that and have you pay for it. That's ridiculous. God wants to give you freely and openly so that you're a blessing and people can see you be blessed. I believe in the blessing of God. I believe God wants to give you money. But I also believe that you can't take God and use him like a genie. You hear that word, genie? God is not like a heavenly slot machine. He's not. But most of these pastors, sad to say, most of these pastors treat God like a genie and say, hey, you give me $700, God will give you $700 back and double. Baloney. God is God. I just pray for those people. Now, we'll be talking more about the Love God, Love People. We're going to be having an opportunity here at Love God, Love People on the toughreality.com for you to buy Bibles for Chinese people. We have get them for about $12, and then we'll be able to give them out to the people also. We're going to have a fund that we're going to develop to help churches rebuild things, like if they need a ceiling and they need a wall, they need some chairs, and we're going to take pictures of that so you can see what you guys are doing. Also, for Tough Reality, we have costs and expenses and Blog Talk Radio. Right now we're doing it free, but we will ask you for donations. And we thank you so much for everything you do. Pray for us. Pray for us. God has told me to lead 3 million people out of captivity. And that's what he'll do. Out of captivity of bondage of finances, out of captivity and bondage of health-related issues, these type of things. I'm not going to tell you if you give me $1,000, you're going to get $10,000 back. That's not happening. But I will tell you this. If you have anything in your life that you need, write me an email, mike@toughreality.com. Tell me what you need, and we will pray for it here every day until you get it or until you ask me to stop. I love each and every one of you. I love Jesus, and I want you to accept Jesus. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, Please forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner. I've done some wrong things. But I want you to come into my life. Please forgive me. Please anoint me with your Holy Spirit and help me have power. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you said that, in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to go ahead and start reading your Bible. I want you to start listening to, like, Doc Kidd or myself. Participate. There are many churches out there, but few churches are any good. So I want you to pray, and pray, pray hard for all the Christians in the world, because the time is very short. Jesus is on his way back. The end times aren't coming. The end times are here right now. We're living it, and I'm excited about it. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now enjoy the rest of your day and enjoy the rest of your weekend. And we'll see you next week on Tough Reality, toughreality.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening today. Tough Reality, toughreality.com. We had a great, great, great show today. And as you listen to our shows, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, YouTube and Pinterest. Skype me, M-I-K-E-A-Y, the number 2, at Skype. You can also email me at mike@toughreality.com. I want to make sure that each one of you understand that we care for you here at Tough Reality. And the Tough Reality is this. You choose for you. Nobody else chooses for you. You make that decision. And until we talk again, until we hear you again, until you speak to me again, or until you listen to us again, we want to make sure that all of you tune in the next time. Tell your friends, your relatives, anybody else that wants to get a double up of Tough Reality. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take it away, Frank. Bye-bye. I did.